filling the air with bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. Three top Cambodian leaders from the old Lon Nol regime have reportedly been killed in their country that's now under communist rule. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. News of the executions was revealed for the first time by associates of the current Cambodian leader, Prince Sihanouk. Barry Kalb reports from Hong Kong.
The details came in a dispatch from Peking by the French news agency Agence France-Presse. The dispatch said Sihanouk and his party were told of the executions when they returned to Phnom Penh last month. The dispatch quoted Sihanouk's associates as saying Lon Non, brother of former President Lon Nol, was lynched by an angry mob shortly after the Khmer Rouge victory of April 17th. The Cambodians were quoted as saying former officials Long Barret and Sirik Matak were executed by firing squads. High-ranking officers of the Khmer Republic Army reportedly met the same fate. Lon Non, Long Barret, and Sirik Matak were among seven men the Khmer Rouge marked for execution in the final days of the war, yet all three chose to stay in Phnom Penh to the end. In fact, Long Barret left Cambodia for about a week in early April. He accompanied Lon Nol, who was then fleeing into exile. But Long Barret returned to Phnom Penh voluntarily, only to meet his death a short time later. Barry Kalb, CBS News, Hong Kong.
The latest from Philadelphia in a minute.
He's one of CBS News' leading anchorman correspondents, and he began his career 25 years ago at a small radio station in Huntsville, Texas.
What's happening is that the persons charged with leadership trusts in the White House and at the Capitol...
Texan Dan Rather is noted for his reporting and analyses on the national political scene, having been a CBS News White House correspondent for 10 years, except for several months as our London bureau chief. His political reporting has taken him to national conventions, out to the hustings, and into the thick of election night coverage. Rather's an award winner, having taken several top journalistic prizes, one for his reports on the Watergate affair, and another for his work on First Line Report. On the international scene, he's taken CBS News cameras and microphones inside the People's Republic of China, the Soviet Union, and many other countries as well. Listen for Dan Rather's reports, along with those of other top CBS News correspondents, on First Line Report, every Monday through Saturday on the CBS Radio Network.
Philadelphia Mayor Frank Rizzo broke his leg Sunday night when he went to the site of a 9-alarm fire at an Atlantic Richfield oil refinery. Rizzo was caught in a group of people who were fleeing the scene following a gas line explosion. Two other people received minor injuries. The fire is now contained after burning for several hours in an area used to fuel tanker trucks. The blaze started in pipeline conduits inside the refinery, but why, no one seems to know right now. Tonight's fire is about a mile away from a Gulf oil refinery where a bigger fire broke out 2 months ago, killing eight firemen. Police used tear gas Sunday night to disperse about 200 anti-busing demonstrators in Louisville. The 200 were the tail end of a group of about 600 which had massed at a shopping center. One state trooper was hurt in the melee. There were other demonstrations in the area on Sunday, but they were peaceful. Five crewmen who were picked up by a rescue ship after their boat sank off the Cuban coast have now been moved to a jail in West Palm Beach, Florida. Officials will talk with them some more on Monday. The captain of the rescue ship says that one of the crewmen told him that he killed his West German captain and three officers during a mutiny. The captain says the one man apparently did the killing and the other crewman went along with the plot. The four officers apparently all went down with the ship. Both striking Broadway musicians and theater owners approved a new contract for the musicians on Sunday night, ending a 25-day strike. The contract calls for pay hikes over a three-year period, ending in $380 a week. Some of the musicals will reopen on Monday, and most of the other productions affected by the strike are expected back in operation by Wednesday. More news after this.
Have you any idea of how to make the world better? We do, and we hope you do too. Oh, have you any idea of what we're gonna need tomorrow? We know, but knowing just won't do. You need colleges and college-trained people. When there are problems you have to beat, it's gonna take educated people to keep business strong and people well and to make sure that the whole world eats. Now you may understand why we are asking you to give to the college of your choice.
A public service message of this station and the Advertising Council.
In Venezuela Monday, 29 oil companies, most of them American, will be given formal compensation offers totaling about $900 million for their holdings, which have been nationalized. The Venezuelan government is expected to announce a breakdown of the payments and the terms sometime in the coming week. President Ford meets on Monday with the Soyuz Apollo astronauts and cosmonauts. The cosmonauts arrived near Washington on Sunday, and they were greeted by their American counterparts. All five will begin a two-week tour of the United States, similar to the one they made last month in the Soviet Union. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
CBS for Seattle, this is KIXI. The weather outlook, night and morning low cloudiness or fog, with partial afternoon clearing through Tuesday. Highs near 60, lows in the 40s. And in downtown Seattle currently, it's 52 degrees. In sports, in professional football, Dallas over the New York Giants, Minnesota defeated the New York Jets. It was Cincinnati defeating New England, Houston downed Cleveland, Pittsburgh over Denver, Detroit beat Chicago, New Orleans took Green Bay, Buffalo downed Baltimore, Miami over Philadelphia, Kansas City defeated Oakland, Atlanta took San Francisco, and Los Angeles defeated San Diego. And the Cincinnati Reds scored twice in the ninth inning to defeat the Boston Red Sox 3-2 and tie the World Series at one victory apiece. Boston and the Reds play game number 3 Tuesday at Cincinnati's Riverfront Stadium.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall, your chaperone at these arcane revels, which are celebrated here 7 times each week. There's the smile of love and the smile of deceit and the smile of smiles where both smiles meet. Why are love and deceit so often found together? Must we deceive to love, or do we love to deceive? But where you find love and deceit together, they do not usually remain alone. Often, this duet becomes a trio, and the third member turns out to be death.
How do you render justice in your country?
We have courts.
Courts?
Halls, where people assemble, and we have judges, juries, lawyers.
Ah, yes. Is it wise to allow people to judge people?
It is the best way, the most democratic.
Only the immortal gods may decide.
But how do you know to get them to make a decision?
The gods have sent my people a spring of sparkling water. The accused must drink at the spring.
And what does that prove?
The innocent walk away vindicated.
And the guilty?
The guilty fall down dead.
Well, it is hardly the way.
You will see it with your own eyes. We shall have a trial tonight.
Oh? Who is the accused?
You are.
Our mystery drama, The Smile of Deceit, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Jennifer Harmon. It is sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, Brewers of Budweiser, and Buick Motor Division.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Somebody still cares about quality. To the Budweiser people, that's a lot more than just words. It's a commitment to continue brewing Budweiser the way it's always been brewed. With care, with pride, without compromise. And it's a promise to everyone who enjoys great beer that there's one thing they'll always be able to count on. That one-of-a-kind Beechwood-aged Budweiser taste. A taste that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking?
And when you say Bud, you say you care.
Bush, St. Louis.
Children make a lot of noise, but to me it's a wonderful sound. They have a lot of energy, a lot of playing to do before they take on the serious world of adulthood. Every day they take on a bit more of this wonderful world. I guess we're lucky, because there are so many places in the world where the children are too weak, even for play. Bangladesh, Honduras, right here at home. They're weak from a lack of protein and essential vitamins, weak from the bad water and the parasites that rob them of important nutrients, a childhood of tears instead of laughter. And even if they do manage to become adults, their minds and limbs will be stunted by chronic malnutrition. You can help a child to grow up strong and independent, maybe even be one of tomorrow's leaders. Send your contribution to Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017.
The poet tells us that nothing succeeds like success. The question, therefore, arises, what is success? That depends on whom you ask. Inquire of the philosophers, and you'll soon discover that, as a group, they tend to knock it. They say things like, success has always been a great liar, or the greatest success is an early death. That's all very well, but who among us would refuse to be successful? Who, if given free choice, would choose failure? Certainly not Miss Velma Strait. Women's lib to the contrary notwithstanding, success for many girls in our society still means the acquisition of a wealthy husband. And Velma, as we shall discover, has hit a rather respectable jackpot.
Just a minute, darling. Oh, it's Aunt Rose.
Well, I see you were expecting darling.
I was.
Well, may I come in?
Of course. Come in, Aunt Rose. By all means, come in.
Well, aren't you glad to see me, Velma, dear?
Well, you know I am. I just... Well, you said you didn't think that you could get away.
Well, I really can't. But would it be right for you to graduate all alone, with no one to applaud? Besides, you said you're engaged, so I just had to.
Come down and see if you approve.
Oh, I shall approve. I know how I raise my little girl. I'm sure you chose a wonderful man.
Oh, he is, Aunt Rose. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, tell me all about him.
Well, his name is Robert Morris Hastings III.
Oh, that sounds impressive. Is he at school here?
Oh, yes.
And is he graduating too?
Oh, no. He's on the faculty.
An instructor?
A professor.
Oh, that's marvelous. Dear, I wouldn't dare to suggest this. It's so presumptuous to advise the young, but I'd hoped you'd choose a mature man.
And I did.
Oh, the young men today seem so unsettled, so uncertain. An older man is so much safer, so much more secure, and in many ways, more romantic. Now tell me everything about Robert Morris Hastings III.
Well, you shall meet him in exactly 1 minute.
Oh, I will.
He promised to stop in and say hello on his way to the faculty assembly. He said he'd ring the bell at 11 o'clock, and he is the soul of promptness.
Well, that's an excellent quality and a sign of good character. What does he teach?
Anthropology.
Oh, dearest, I am so happy for you. To be the wife of a professor. To live in the intellectually stimulating atmosphere of a university.
Oh, well, we won't live here, Aunt Rose. Robert's resigning his post.
He is?
We're going out into the field. Robert's specialty is in psychic phenomena among primitive peoples. It's fascinating how the mind can be manipulated to produce, well, almost anything. Even death. Anyhow, starting next month, it'll be deserts and jungles. Well, will you look at the clock? 11 exactly. Robert, darling, come in.
I can only pause for a moment, my dear.
Darling, the most wonderful human being in all the world is here to give us our blessing. Aunt Rose, this is Robert. Robert, Mrs. Maynard Gardner. But you'll have to call her Aunt Rose.
How do you do?
How I have looked forward to this occasion. Velma never stops talking about you. Aunt Rose?
Well, let's all have some coffee.
Oh, my dear, I don't have time.
Darling, it only needs a minute to boil the water.
Yes, but a cup of coffee right now would be too much. I already have had two at breakfast.
Now, Robert, you promised to watch that.
I know, my dear, and I do try.
No, he's just terrible, Aunt Rose.
I really should be going.
But you just got here.
I promised to pop in on my way to the assembly to say hello, and now I must pop out. I'll look for you both at the commencement exercises.
Well, if you must go.
And Aunt Rose, you will be our guest at luncheon.
I should be getting back to the city.
Nonsense. Of course you'll be our guest, Robert.
I'll make a reservation for three at the Hamilton Room. Goodbye, ladies.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye.
Well?
Velma.
Isn't he marvelous?
Are you serious?
Are you saying you don't like Robert?
How could you consider marriage with...
Oh, I know. He's not as young as you might have expected. But didn't you say it was wisest to marry an older man?
Older, yes, but...
But what?
Well, let me put it this way. I happen to be more than twice your age, and he'd even be too old for me.
Age isn't everything, Aunt Rose. Robert is handsome, generous, very intelligent, kind.
Cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. I know, a veritable Eagle Scout.
And most important, he's rich.
Oh, no. No, I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Why not, darling?
You would marry... For money?
Absolutely.
Oh, no, Velma, no. That's not how I raised you. If you can say that, then you learn nothing in my house.
But I learned everything in your house, Aunt Rose. I learned how important money can be because I saw what can happen to girls who marry for love and love alone, the way you did. I saw what happens when a cheerful spirit is hemmed in by too small a house. And badgered by too small a budget.
Your uncle and I were deeply in love.
My uncle and you were deeply in debt.
Velma, what happened to that idealistic young girl who went off to college 4 years ago?
I grew up. Giddy romantic love is a peculiarly American myth.
Oh, really?
It's because we're still a very young country. We have yet to get rid of our juvenile fantasies. Love is a fleeting, ethereal emotion. How can you base a marriage on it?
How?
Yes, dear, how? Marriage is a contract. And a contract should be guaranteed by some solid collateral.
Very well. Very well. If you must marry for money, is he the best you can do?
Oh, yes, I've explored all my options.
Velma!
I discovered that Robert happens to be among the wealthiest men on campus, student or faculty. He's the sole surviving member of the Hastings family.
I never heard of them.
They were Detroit people. Robert's father was a pioneer maker of motor cars. He was bought out by one of the big corporations for a fabulous sum of money.
Oh, but there must be other wealthy men closer to your own age. Oh, Lord, listen to how I'm talking.
Yes, there are, but Robert's money is clean money.
Clean?
He's the only surviving member of his family.
The money is all his, and when he dies, the money will be all mine. The others had brothers or sisters, all kinds of family complications.
But, Velma, do you realize in 10 years, Robert will be a very, very old man? Why, you'll hardly be in your 30s.
I don't expect Robert to live another 10 years or even 5. He has a heart condition.
Velma!
And will be living a strenuous outdoor life in areas that aren't exactly healthy. I shall be a very young widow. And then I could afford to marry for love.
Oh, Velma. Something has taken possession of you. Suppose 5 or even 10 years go by and Robert is still alive. Suppose somehow he may live on to an incredibly old age.
Then I suppose I'll have to burn that bridge when I get to it.
Ah, there you are, Aunt Rose. Have you been waiting long?
No.
Were you able to see Velma at the commencement exercises?
Yes.
She looks stunning. Don't you agree?
I agree.
Why do you disapprove of me?
The fact that you would have to ask such a question would indicate that you couldn't possibly understand my answer.
Well, why not answer anyhow?
Well, first and foremost, this dramatic disparity in your ages.
Why should it bother you?
Because Velma is being cheated out of a young and vigorous husband.
Evidently, that doesn't bother Velma.
It will. Why do you suppose she wants to marry you?
For my money. You're shocked. Why?
I never heard of anything so cold-blooded, so practical.
If money is so important to her, why shouldn't she marry for it? She loves me. She loves me for the security I can give her.
Why do you want to marry Velma?
Well, because I love her. No. You must let me finish. I love her for the beauty and the freshness she brings into my life.
Oh, it goes against all logic, all reason. I don't know what you did. Perhaps centuries ago, it might have been called witchcraft.
Such a statement is beneath you, Aunt Rose.
But I cannot explain it any other way.
Only ignorant people explain away what they can't understand by witchcraft. Not everyone has your values, your attitudes, your perspective on life.
You're a clever man, a convincing man. But I can't be had. I insist. You must have cast a spell over Velma.
How can you be sure Velma hasn't cast a spell over me?
Well, I can't be sure of anything anymore.
Aunt Rose, Robert. Oh, there was such a crowd. Sorry I kept you waiting. No, I'm not. I wanted you to get to know each other. Aunt Rose, isn't he just marvelous? Tell me, Aunt Rose, what do you say now?
Bless you, my children.
Well, there's a marriage for you. But maybe it's not so outrageous after all. At least the principals are being honest with each other. Or do they only think they're being honest? Let's review the bidding. He wants her to be fresh and bright and beautiful. She wants him to live no longer than, say, 5 more years. And I want you to wait just a few moments. And then I shall return with Act Two.
In God We Trust, America Speaks. From Abraham Lincoln's creed, I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads,
I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
Your Lung Association takes great pride in preventing the half a dirty dozen.
They call me tuberculosis. TB for short, but not for long, right? Wrong.
Yeah, I'm chronic bronchitis. That's my trademark. Don't dismiss it lightly, unless you'd like to meet my friend here.
Emphysema, that's me. The kind of guy who'd steal your last breath. Occasionally, I'm mistaken for...
asthma. I'm strictly impartial. I don't care whose breath I rob. I even steal from kids.
I'm a cigarette. Now, I may be little, but I'm dangerous. After all, you know what they say about small packages.
Air pollution, alias the gray ghost. I can do more damage at one time than all these guys put together just by hanging around.
To join in the fight against breath robbers, see your doctor at the first sign of shortness of breath. Don't smoke and try to avoid polluted air. Your Lung Association considers it a matter of life and breath.
What is the best basis for a marriage? The question has intrigued the sages since the original introduction of men and women. It would appear, however, that the best basis is the one that works best for the individuals concerned. You have already met Professor and Mrs. Hastings, Velma and Robert. May and December. Since each had what the other wanted, shouldn't they be able to look forward to a successful marriage? It all goes back to what I said at the very beginning. What do you mean by success? Well, here's Aunt Rose to bring us up to date.
And so they were married. And they left immediately on a combined honeymoon and field trip to study the customs of a remote tribe in the Amazon. At first, Velma wrote often. But a year went by, and two, three, four, even five. And her letters became more and more infrequent, and less informative. And then, for a while, I didn't hear from her at all. And then one day, I received a strange, frightening letter from Brazil.
Dearest Aunt Rose, save me. Please save me. You must save me. Perhaps it is my fault. But I don't want to die. No, I must be calm. I will tell you everything. Even the part that makes me look bad. You're my only hope. You must save me. You were right. Oh, how right. It's 5 years. I've been married 5 years. I can't stand it any longer. I can't. What are they banging on those things for?
It's a very interesting ceremony, my dear.
I'm sure.
It's called the Test of the Bitter Water.
Sounds fascinating.
Are you all right?
I'm fine.
Are you sure?
Damn it, I said I was all right. Do you want me to write it down and get it notarized?
Well, obviously, something is the matter.
Why can't we go home?
My work is here.
Why can't I go home?
Home is wherever our work takes us.
It's your work. Why do I have to be here?
Because a wife's place is with her husband's. Now, come on, we'll be late for the ceremony. Chief Araya will be insulted if we don't attend.
Please convey my regrets. I have a headache.
My dear, we are the honored guests. It would be an insult, and I need the chief's goodwill.
That's too bad.
I'm afraid it is. If I tell him you have a headache, he'll send his favorite medicine man to cure you. And that might be quite painful.
And so I went with Robert. I had no desire to be sewn into a pigskin and smoked for hours to drive the evil spirits from my head. The entire tribe, hundreds of men and women, were gathered about a rock from which there flowed a spring of sparkling water. All eyes were on a woman who stood alone near the spring. A woman who seemed transfixed by terror. Finally, the drums increased in intensity, and Chief Uriah himself, a tall, imposing man with steel blue eyes and stark white hair, stepped forward.
Let the drums be silent!
What is he going to do?
He's going to make her drink some spring water from that silver cup.
Why is she so frightened?
Well, she's afraid the water will kill her.
Is it poison?
No. No, I drank it myself.
Well, then why is she...
She's been accused of infidelity. To prove her innocence, she must drink from the spring. If she is guilty, the water will kill her.
But if it's not poison, how can it kill her?
Well, that's what these people have believed for hundreds of years. If she's guilty, she'll die. I've seen it happen.
But how can it happen?
That's what we're here to study.
Well, suppose she refuses to drink.
That's an admission of guilt. She'd be stoned to death.
Marva! Daughter of Reina! Wife of Korei! Step forward! I accuse you of infidelity! I accuse you of disgracing your family, shaming your husband, and soiling the honor of this tribe. Do I speak truly?
No. No, I...
Shall you then submit to the test of the bitter water? Will you drink the bitter water?
Please. Please leave me.
Why do you avoid the test? The water is pure. See, I drink. See, my wife drinks. See, your own mother drinks. The water is pure, but only for the pure of heart. What have you to fear if you are a virtuous woman?
I'm innocent. Innocent. I swear to you, I am innocent.
Then drink. Take the cup. Take it in your own two hands. Raise it to your lips. Drink. And now the gods will judge you. Drain the cup. Now, throw the empty cup to the ground. Immortal gods, what is your judgment? The gods have spoken.
Is she dead?
There's no doubt about it. She's dead.
I can't wear pants.
I didn't say you can't.
Well, what did you say?
I only said Chief Uriah thinks they're... Well, that they're immodest.
Immodest? Why, the women in his tribe run around practically naked.
It's remarkable how modesty is culturally determined. In our civilization, a woman is immodest if she exposes her body. And here a woman is immodest if she conceals it.
This Chief Uriah of yours is becoming a pet peeve of mine.
Well, he's a stern moralist, almost in the mold of an Old Testament prophet. Now, how would you like to drive the jeep to Puerto São Diego?
What for?
The Institute is sending me an assistant.
Oh, really?
A highly qualified scientist and an erudite scholar.
Well, that killed it.
Would you pick him up and bring him back here?
I don't know, Aunt Rose. Tell me, does life get its ideas from the movies? Because he's tall and he's good-looking. And he's not old. He's young. And he's everything I've been missing and longing for in a man. Everything I thought was unimportant. How can I describe it? We're tuned in. We like so many of the same things. We can talk so easily. We like to dance. You understand, don't you? And he was even honorable. Notice I said was. Oh, isn't it a glorious night?
Tell me, Dennis, have you read the Stevenson-Halley analysis of the South American Indian languages?
Oh, yes, sir.
Do you agree?
Well, I think their premise is correct, but it sheds no new light.
If you boys are going to talk shop again, I think I'll turn in.
But, my dear, you haven't finished your dinner.
You can't go to bed yet, Velma. We have to have our dance. Professor, do you mind if I ask your wife to...
Dennis, Velma, I would rather you two didn't do any more dancing.
Now what's the matter?
Well, it seems that this kind of thing is shocking to the natives.
You can't be serious.
Chief Araya spoke to me about it. Dennis, you understand.
Yes, I think I do, sir. These natives are remarkably straight-laced people.
You know, it's odd. Our culture sees the savage as free and unfettered. Actually, they're the prisoners of so many taboos.
So am I. Everything. Everything wrong that happens from here on is my fault. All my fault. I admit it. We were walking in the forest and suddenly...
Don't move. It's all right now. Just a snake.
Just a snake.
No, he wasn't going to bother you, but you disturbed him. I'm sorry I had to shoot him.
Sorry? Why, the murderous thing.
We do enough to destroy the balance of nature as it is.
What did you say?
The balance of nature, it means...
I know what it means. In my own way, I've destroyed a certain balance of nature.
You have? How?
And in destroying it, I'm also being destroyed. Slowly.
Are you... something the matter?
Hold me. Please hold me.
Roberta.
Closer. Closer.
Velma. We shouldn't.
We should. We should.
But this isn't right.
Don't you want to?
Yes. I want to. But I...
Then don't talk. Oh, Dennis, Dennis.
I love you, Velma.
Oh, how I love you, Dennis.
Well, then, let's tell Robert.
Tell Robert? Are you mad?
It's the honest and honorable thing to do.
No.
Then you can get a divorce.
What are you saying?
You must divorce Robert.
Why?
Well, for 100 reasons. One, you don't love him. Two, you love me.
Let's wait.
For what?
For Robert to die.
Velma.
How much longer can he live?
Velma, I can't believe you're saying this.
Kiss me.
No. No, it's not right.
Don't you want to love me?
Yes. But as my wife, marry me.
How much money do you make?
What kind of question is that?
A very important question.
Well, I have a research grant for the next 36 months.
How much does it pay?
$8,800 a year.
You can't be serious.
Well, why is money so important? We won't starve.
Robert has money. He has over $2 million. Think of it. $2 million.
Oh, well, who cares?
I care. It's all going to be mine when he dies. Do you want me to throw away $2 million?
What does it matter as long as you have love in the house?
It matters. It matters. He can't live forever. Oh, kiss me.
But we...
Don't talk. You talk too much. Darling, you're not eating.
I'm not hungry.
You want to go for a walk?
Well, we can't go for a walk now. The whole camp will know.
Oh, what's the difference? Robert's asleep. I think he's not well. Maybe we'll be free sooner than we think.
I can't believe we're having this conversation. Robert is the best friend I have in all the world. He taught me everything I know. And how do I thank him? I betray him.
That's an old-fashioned word, darling.
Its meaning never changes. Let's tell Robert now.
I can't. I won't.
Then I will.
I'll swear to him it's a lie. I'll swear you wanted to seduce me, and because I refused, you're trying to...
Do you know I think you would? And for you, I betrayed my best friend. I even betrayed myself.
Dennis, don't look at me like that. No, Dennis. Please, no.
Why do young girls like Velma get themselves into these situations? An extensive literature on the subject of May and December marriages exists. Indeed, a great deal has even been said on the subject on many of our own little tales here. However, the most succinct statement was uttered by Mr. Benjamin Franklin, who observed that where you have marriage without love, you will soon have love without marriage. I'll be back shortly with Act Three.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's midsize 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of efficiency that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century. The spirit will move you.
Free spirit, Buick on the wings of the wind. How it's gonna be, your spirit's free.
Ahmed is rattling his pan, begging for food. If he doesn't get it, he's going to die. Ahmed lives in Pakistan, and he's only 11 years old. He needs our help. George W. is an alcoholic. He wishes he weren't, but it's a disease, and he wants to get rid of it so he can once again support his family and bring dignity back into his life. Most of us are much better off. We have enough food to eat, and we have good health. When worshiping God, we express our thanks, but God wants more from us than thanks. We must do something for those of us not so well off. This year, while celebrating America's 200th birthday, join with others at your local church or synagogue and make plans to help relieve suffering. You'll end up helping yourself as well. Welcome God to America's bicentennial. Practice what you pray. A public service of Religion in American Life, the Ad Council, and this station.
Velma Straight, against the advice of her Aunt Rose, has married a man many years her senior. And way back in Act One, practically all of you were predicting what was bound to happen. Well, why shouldn't it have happened? It's what usually happens in life, isn't it? The ancient Greeks called this kind of thing fate. And it happens to more people than you would think.
Yes. I betrayed myself. Do you hear, Velma? I betrayed myself.
Dennis, Robert, he will hear you.
Oh, yes. Robert mustn't know. I don't feel well.
Yes, Dennis, you don't look well. Maybe you better go back to your tent.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Do you want me to walk with you?
No, no. There are things I have to think about.
Think, Dennis. Think about us.
Oh, yes. I am thinking about us.
Everything will be all right soon.
Yes. Soon. Everything will be just fine. Good night, Thelma.
Thelma?
Oh, did I wake you?
No, I've been lying here thinking. Did you and Dennis talk about anything interesting at dinner?
Oh, not particularly.
He's quite depressed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there was a job to head a research foundation, very prestigious, well-paying, and he put in for it.
I didn't know that.
I was amazed. I didn't think money and prestige were that important to him. He was always happy just working in the field, or so I thought. But evidently, it wasn't enough for him.
The job? What about the job?
He got a letter this morning. The job's been filled.
Oh. What? What was that?
That was a shot.
Yes, Aunt Rose, it was a shot. And it came from Dennis's tent. Something said to me, don't go in there. Don't go in there. But Robert went in, and after a while, he came out.
He's dead.
But
I suppose the rejection by the foundation was a little too much.
Oh, it's horrible.
I'll have to report this to the authorities. I'd hate to say it was a suicide, but
Maybe it wasn't.
My dear, I know you liked him as I did, and you want to protect his name, but well, it's obvious.
You must come down here, Aunt Rose. You must. I have no one else in the world. Only you can save my life. Help me now. I'm enclosing money for an airline ticket. You take the plane to the city of Brasilia, and then a bus to São Diego at the edge of the jungle, and I'll meet you there with the jeep. You must come before the 25th of the month. Please, before the 25th, because here's what's happened. The day after we buried poor Dennis, that horrible chief, Araya, walked into the camp.
Friend Robert.
Chief Araya, sit. Join us for some refreshment.
I am not permitted to eat and drink at your table.
Is there a spirit here?
An evil spirit.
Powerful?
A spirit of death.
In whose body?
Hers.
My wife?
I make the accusation.
Of what?
The most disgraceful of all crimes. Adultery.
How dare you?
Please, my dear.
Please, my dear. This filthy, disgusting heathen savage dares to slander me, and you say, please, my dear.
Now, Chief, who makes this charge?
I, Araya, chief of all the forest country, make the charge. It is my duty.
What right do you have?
It is my right. My duty. You live in my country. You live by my law. Friend Robert, I have come in peace.
Go in peace.
I live in peace.
What is this? What right does he have to accuse me?
Oh, my poor darling. The way you dress to him it suggested a wanton woman.
But I...
And the fact that you danced with Dennis means to him that...
There was never anything... anything between Dennis and me. It's untrue.
We're not talking about absolute truth. We're talking about the truth as he perceives it. And this means...
What?
It means you'll have to take the test of the bitter water.
And if I refuse, shall I be stoned to death?
Darling, if you refuse, I shall lose the friendship of the chief.
Isn't that too bad?
Drink the water, and once and for all, you'll prove to the chief that you are a virtuous woman.
I refuse.
Come on, darling, what could happen to you?
I won't, do you hear me?
But why? What could happen to you? What are you afraid of?
Well, what are you afraid of, my dear?
I don't know, Aunt Rose. Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
Oh, it's such beautiful country.
It isn't. It's hot and humid, and there are flies and mosquitoes and bugs and snakes.
Oh, now, dear, pull yourself together.
I don't know what to do.
Well, if the water isn't poisoned, drink it. What can happen?
I'm just scared.
Well, then don't drink it.
Well, then Robert loses all the years and effort he's invested in this tribe.
Velma, if you are terrified by the prospect of that test, then regardless of the cost, don't take it.
And if I don't, then Robert will surely divorce me.
Well, that might be best for you both.
Oh, no, not now. Not after these 5 wretched years. I never knew how miserable a woman could be.
Well, I may have tried to tell you that a long time ago.
I know. You were right. You were always right. But that doesn't help me now. Robert's visibly fading. He can't live much longer. He has $2 million.
Velma, you must forget about the money.
How can I forget? That's all I've lived for. It's my money, and I won't give it up.
Well, darling, it seems your choices are obvious. Drink the water or lose the money.
There must be another way.
You did have an affair with Dennis?
Yes.
Well, turn the jeep around and come with me.
No. It's a crazy superstition of savages. I won't give up a fortune. I'll drink that water and spit in his eye.
All right, then. You've decided. Thank you for seeing me, Chief Araya.
You come in peace?
Oh, yes, certainly.
How may I serve you? You are a fine woman. Fine-looking woman.
Thank you. My niece, Robert's wife, this test, it is to be tomorrow evening?
Yes.
Oh, it's very upsetting to her.
Why? What is there to fear? She is innocent.
Chief, she's not as strong as the women in your tribe. She comes from another world. You are a man of wisdom. You understand another world where customs are different.
A world where women may commit adultery? No. Even your world says no. Even missionaries from your world say your God says no.
But she is very upset.
Why? If she is innocent, what is there to fear? Let the drums be silent. Velma, wife of Robert, I accuse you of infidelity. Do I speak truly?
Answer him.
No.
Shall you then submit to the test of the bitter water?
Yes.
Here, I have filled the cup from the spring. Take it. Drink.
Aunt Rose.
One moment. Chief, may I drink from that cup first?
Anyone who chooses may drink from the cup.
All right. Well, nothing seems to have happened to me. Here, Velma, the water's okay.
Aunt Rose, I don't know what to do.
Velma, I have gone as far as I can. I've proved the water isn't poisoned. Now, dear, you must decide.
What am I, some stupid native woman? Why am I afraid? Hand me that cup.
Take the cup in your two hands. Raise it to your lips. Drink. Now the immortal gods are judging you. Throw the empty cup to the ground.
Aunt Rosa. Velma, what? Child, you're all right. You're all right.
Aunt Rosa. I see Dennis. He's pointing that gun at me. He wants to kill me, too. He wants to take me with him. No, I don't want to die. Stop him. He wants to kill me.
No. No, she isn't.
She is dead.
Oh, she can't be.
She is dead. The immortal gods have spoken.
How do these things happen? We do know that people die of fright, of remorse, of all the unknown ways that silently attack the mind. Robert died a week later. The shock was obviously too great for him as well. Velma was wrong. Robert didn't have 2 million. He had 5. And all of it went to a research foundation, which is where all of it, except for a small bequest to her, would have gone anyhow. On the other hand, everything we have, we give to you, as I shall explain when I return in a few moments.
This is Beverly Sills. Did you know that of all the arts, music is the only one in which a blind person can participate freely in spite of blindness? However, even in music, the blind needs special help in order to stand on an equal footing with the sighted. The Louis Braille Foundation for Blind Musicians works to promote the interests of the blind in the field of music. The foundation, a national nonprofit organization, urgently needs your financial help. The services of the Louis Braille Foundation are available to any blind person and provide auditions, evaluations and counseling, scholarship aid, paid engagements for qualified musicians, and transcription of music into Braille. The foundation depends solely on the public for its support. Send your tax-deductible gifts to the Louis Braille Foundation, 112 East 19th Street, New York, 10003. If you know a musically gifted blind person who needs help, please contact the Louis Braille Foundation at area code 212-982-7290.
The question that faced us in the beginning still confronts us here at the end. What is success? According to the poetic Mr. Thomas Gray, all that beauty and all that wealth ever gave awaits alike the inevitable hour. The paths of glory lead but to the grave. If this is true, then the only really successful creatures in this world are the worms. But if we cannot guarantee you success, we can promise you enjoyment if you tune us in 7 times each week. Our cast included Jennifer Harmon, Arnold Moss, Joan Shea, and Robert Dryden. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Come in, Mr. Stretch.
Clarence, meet an associate of mine, Mr. Chadwick.
How do you do, sir?
Mr. Chadwick is my silent partner.
Glad to meet you, sir.
No, Clarence. You will not be glad you met Mr. Chadwick, believe me.
Fix you gentlemen drink?
We never drink on the job.
The job?
Oh, were you under the impression this is a social call? We're here to collect the money.
The money? Mm. Oh, yes. Well, I happen to be a little tight at the moment.
Ah, but this is the moment. the particular moment, the agreed-upon moment.
Yes, I...
Clarence, Mr. Chadwick and I have a problem. Do you know what it is? We must decide whether or not to kill you.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle. CBS News. Irish police have intensified their dragnet for the kidnappers of a Dutch industrialist following the finding of a kidnapped car in Dublin. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. It was disclosed early Monday morning that police have found the car used to kidnap Tita Harima 10 days ago, strengthening the police theory that the kidnappers and possibly their hostage still are in the Irish capital. The discovery comes on the heels of several reported sightings of the kidnappers. There's been no contact with the kidnappers, believed to be breakaway members of the Irish Republican Army, since Thursday when they spoke by telephone with officials of Harima's Ferenca Steel Company and passed code words confirming that the 53-year-old businessman was still alive. CBS News continues following this message.
The American woman is a business executive, a housewife, an author, a judge, a star athlete. In other words, the American woman is what she wants to be. And on the CBS News broadcast series, The American Woman, we report on and talk to women we're sure you'll find interesting. I'm Sylvia Chase, CBS News, a regular contributor to this series on the achievements and dilemmas of women in today's society. Listen for The American Woman, Monday through Saturday on most of these stations of the CBS Radio Network.
May I take a few seconds to tell you about a quiet emergency going on right now? As quiet as death by starvation. A death that threatens as many as 500 million children in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. UNICEF, the United Nations Children's Fund, is working to prevent this catastrophe. UNICEF needs your help. Send your contribution today to UNICEF, United Nations, New York. Send the price of a meal. You won't miss it. And the children need it.
A 9-alarm fire ripped storage tanks in the Arco refinery along Philadelphia's Schuylkill River. Two people have been hurt, including Mayor Frank Rizzo. He reportedly suffered a broken leg when run into by a fireman as they scrambled away from a gas line explosion. Rizzo is reported resting comfortably in St. Agnes Hospital. More on the fire from Walt Hunter of CBS radio station WCAU.
Flames are still burning out of control in a 5-acre maze of pipelines at that fire, but Philadelphia Fire Commissioner Joseph Rizzo says he hopes to confine the blaze by morning. The blaze at the Arco refinery is only 1/2 mile from the Gulf refinery, where 8 Philadelphia firemen died in a fire 2 months ago. This is Walt Hunter for CBS News in Philadelphia.
Senator William Proxmire is the latest Democrat to counterattack in the escalating financial feud between the White House and Capitol Hill. Friday night at a Republican fundraising dinner in Detroit, President Ford lambasted what he termed a can't-do Congress. Proxmire, appearing on ABC's Issues and Answers, said the president has thwarted much of what lawmakers have done.
I think this Congress maybe has made a lot of mistakes. We undoubtedly have. But it's hardly a Congress that's not can't do. We've done too much, maybe, in some areas. We passed a farm bill. What did he do? He vetoed it. We passed a jobs bill. What did he do? He vetoed it. We passed an education bill. He vetoed it. We passed a health bill. He vetoed it. We passed a strip mining bill. He vetoed it. That's not a can't do. That's a do-do Congress. but a president who thinks we shouldn't have done what we did.
Proxmire said President Ford's proposal for cutting taxes $28 billion could well be an attempt to hypo the economy in 1976, the presidential election year. Alabama Governor George Wallace has arrived in London, beginning his first visit to Europe. Reporters ask how his trip relates to his presidential aspirations.
I just have to speculate on that, but I'm glad to be here and glad to be in Western Europe, glad to be in Great Britain. I'm going to the continent, of course, after leaving here, and we'll decide that when we get back. But I've never been to Europe. I've been many places in the world, but not to Europe.
Wallace's first transatlantic trip was longer than expected, his plane being grounded for several hours at Gander, Newfoundland, because of mechanical difficulties. Broadway musicians voted Sunday night to accept a new contract, ending the 25-day strike that darkened a dozen New York City theaters. Show producers voted on the pact later, also approving it. It's expected the musical theaters will be back in operation Monday night. More news in a moment.
There's a new word that all of us should add to our healthcare vocabulary, chemotherapy. It's the name of the treatment which uses life-supporting drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life in our war against cancer. Right now in your own community, it's helping many of your neighbors, perhaps someone in your own family, to live and work effectively on the job, in the home, and with others in the community. Chemotherapy is one more victory in our war against cancer. But we need more victories, greater victories, and we can't stop until the war is over. Support the research of the Chemotherapy Foundation. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Men who smoke two or more packs of cigarettes a day shorten their lives 14 to 15 years, according to a study conducted at Edinburgh, Pennsylvania State College. Statistics based on a sample of 4,000 men and women in northwestern Pennsylvania point to two-pack or more smoking women shortening their lives by 19 to 20 years. An unexplained quirk in the statistics indicates cigar and pipe smokers, on the average, live a year longer than people who don't smoke at all. Mike Stanley, CBS News.